Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, email, Google+, simple ways that you can share Issues Etc. programs with your friends, relatives, and fellow parishioners. Just go to Listen on Demand Archives at issuesetc.org and look for the share feature images posted beneath each audio segment. You're only one click away from telling someone about Issues Etc. The Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org and look for Share This.
Actually, when I was about 15 years old, I saw my classmates make very unwise decisions. And I dedicated my life to helping teenagers.
Great.
And in whatever way I could to help them identify the truth and how to make wise decisions. And I've been doing it ever since.
That's the voice of Bill Gothard. Now, you might have until recently not known his name. He has, until recently, for many decades, been the founder and the president of the Institute in Basic Life Principles. When I went to the seminars, it was the Institute in Basic Youth Conflicts. I remember sitting in a packed convention center with my red book in hand, listening to Bill Gothard, watching him draw pictures, and really soaking in a lot of the principles that he had for good decisions, wise living, Christian principles he claimed to draw straight from the Bible. Allegations lately of sexual abuse and of sexual harassment have caused him to step down from his position. What is the real story? What was going on inside of the Institute of Basic Life Principles? Here in the first half hour or so of Issues Etc. on this Monday afternoon, March the 17th, we're going to answer that question with Dr. John Cornish and Carrie Underwood. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. We are coming to you live this Monday afternoon. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. A little bit later, Chris Roseborough will update us on a story we've also been looking at regularly here. Mark Driscoll has apologized. He's the pastor of Mars Hill Church and, well, until recently a best-selling author, but he's withdrawn his best-selling status because he, well, paid for it. He made an apology in the aftermath of a publishing scandal. Chris Roseborough of Fighting for the Faith will bring us up to date on the story. Then Pastor Tom Baker will join us. We'll be teaching a Sunday school lesson today, Jesus and the Samaritan Woman in John chapter 4. Dr. John Cornish and Carrie Underwood are co-founders of Recovering Grace, an online organization devoted to helping people whose lives have been impacted by the teachings of Bill Gothard. Dr. Cornish and Carrie, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
I want to start with you, Carrie. You actually have the kind of the deepest previous involvement in the Institute in Basic Life Principles. Tell us your story.
My parents first attended the Basic Seminar in 1971 when they were young couple, and they brought us up in the teachings of IBLP. I attended my first Basic Seminar at the age of 12. And that was the first of many. We joined their homeschool program, the Advanced Training Institute, the second year it started, which was in the early 80s. And I traveled with the ministry in my later teens. I went to a counseling seminar in Atlanta. I traveled to Russia in 1992. And at that time, Bill Gothard invited me to work for him at IBLP headquarters in Chicago. I was 17 at that time, and I worked on and off for the ministry for the next several years.
Was it unusual to have 17-year-olds going to work for the Gothard organization?
Well, it wasn't unusual at that time. In the early 70s, he did bring in young people, but because he brought them in as staff, they had to be at least 18. When I was in ATI, they brought us in as apprenticeship students and somehow were able to get around labor laws, I guess, as bringing us in as students. And so I was there at 17. I remember a 14-year-old girl working directly with Bill in his office at that time.
Dr. Cornish, what was your past involvement in the Institute in Basic Life Principles?
Well, similar to Carrie, my parents joined the program back in the 80s. I was, I believe, 5 or 6 years old at the time. My parents actually came to know the Lord just about the same time they were exposed to the Basic Seminar. So their early experiences with Christianity are very much tied in with Mr. Gothard and his teachings. And as both of my parents came from somewhat broken homes, I think they were kind of looking for answers or a solution to make sure that their family would survive what at that time was a pretty tumultuous cultural revolution. So they joined this program, and ATI is a very rigid, very conservative, I would say legalistic homeschooling program. So they joined 85, 86, and really all of my spiritual upbringing through about the age of 18 was through IBLP. We went to church, but our ideology was mostly derived from Gothard. I did go, like Carrie, I went to a counseling seminar when I was 15. I did quite a bit of music study with ATI. They had actually a pretty fine music program, somewhat legalistic as the other teachings were, but I had some involvement with that. And then at age 16, I went up to one of the satellite training centers in Oklahoma City and worked with a program called Character First, which is kind of an outreach or a branch of IBLP that focuses on character training in public schools and in the workplace. So I wrote some music for them, did some work on their curriculum, taught in the schools, some of the IBLP teachings. That was from about age 16 to age 18. After that, I started to see my way out of the program. My parents started to see some errors in it as well. But that was pretty much my involvement in the program.
Carrie, when did you begin questioning some of the teachings of Bill Gothard and the practices of the Institute?
Well, it was interesting. My time working at the Chicago headquarters is actually where I started to diverge from the teachings. And the reason for it is the way we were brought up under this ministry, really for our parents to have their children working at Bill Gothard's Chicago headquarters was really quite an amazing thing. It was a privilege and an honor, and we kind of viewed that life as a little bit of a Christian utopia. And you know, once I was there and working under Bill directly, and you know, we would have staff meetings every Sunday night, and a staff dinner every Saturday night, and a staff meeting every morning of the week, work week. You know, there were a lot of little jokes and catchphrases that we had about our time there to sort of cope with what the inconsistencies we saw. But there were a lot of inconsistencies in what Bill taught and how he functioned day to day. And some things concerned me, not just about the teachings and the inconsistencies there, but about the young women that he had with him in the office. And we would hear stories and rumors and that really disturbed us. But in our innocence and our youth, we really didn't know maybe even how to handle what we were hearing. But anyway, coming away from that experience, I just began to really study the scripture for myself. My parents had always encouraged me to do that, and I had a lot of questions about their authority teaching, which is a really strong emphasis by Bill Gothard, he utilized that teaching, you know, in to control of his staff as well. And I had a lot of questions, and I began to ask them. And I think for me, I just kind of slowly drifted away quietly. I didn't really speak up. I didn't really know even if I knew how to speak up, but I just sort of drifted slowly away from the more legalistic teaching.
While working there, what kind of specific allegations would you hear about Bill Gothard's behavior?
Well, you know, what Recovering Grace has been putting out over the last couple of months is a lot of stories about young women that have worked with him directly. When I was there at the time, we would just refer to the young women that he had working with him directly as sort of Bill's girls. And it was not even a negative reference. It's just sort of how we referred to them. He had a type, and we always knew that he would pull in certain attractive young women, and they would work directly with him, and they were often very young. That didn't bother me. I was a kid. He was, you know, older. It seemed more you know, I assumed that it was more fatherly or even grandfatherly of him to sort of want to bring in young people under his wing. And I assumed that there was maybe something in their family background that he was helping with counseling. I just didn't know. But as far as specific allegations, there were rumors, you know, among the young women. One girl came to me one time and said, "Carrie, I just don't know what to do. I was on a van ride with Bill, and one of his younger girls, the girl she was referring to, was 14 at the time. And she said, I don't know what to do. I sat there in that van for several hours and watched him hold hands with her and caress her and gaze into her eyes. And she said, I just don't even know what to think, and I don't know what to do or to say. And, you know, we were 17 years old. We didn't know anything, and we neither of us ever said anything to anyone. But those are some of the things that we saw.
We're talking about abuse allegations surrounding Bill Gothard, former founder and president of the Institute in Basic Life Principles, Dr. John Cornish and Carrie Underwood, co-founders of Recovering Grace, are our guests. We'll be right back.
Did you know that we send out an email each week that details upcoming show topics? It's available for you to include in your weekly church bulletin. Just click the Issues Etc. Journal logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, and sign up to receive the church bulletin blurb. It's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen to Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Look for the Issues Etc. Journal logo and register to receive a weekly bulletin paragraph from Issues Etc.
What is God's purpose for marriage? How should we respond when traditional marriage is openly mocked as irrelevant? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March is titled Your Marriage by God's Design. It's written by Issues Etc. regular guests Scott and Julie Stiegemeyer. You can find out more about Your Marriage by God's Design at issuesetc.org, or you can call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Your Marriage by God's Design, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month.
A voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism. You're listening to Issues Etc.
In Higher Things, we believe that if you put good Christ crucified for you Lutheranism into a youth, you'll get a good Christ crucified for you Lutheran youth. Join us this July at the Higher Things Crucified Youth Conferences in Florida, Wisconsin, Utah. Check us out at www.higherthings.org. Higherthings.org. Dare your youth to be Lutherans this summer.
Does your church need a backup organist? The Virtual Organist service from Church Music Solutions is the next best thing to an on-site organist. Send us your musical choices, including liturgy and hymns. We'll assemble your service and send it to an iPad that controls your church's organ on Sunday. The result is genuine organ leadership on your instrument with your selections when you need it. See our videos on YouTube or visit our website at churchmusicsolutions.com.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. On this Monday afternoon, March the 17th, we're talking about abuse allegations surrounding Bill Gothard, founder of the Institute in Basic Life Principles. Dr. John Cornish, Carrie Underwood are our guests, the co-founders of Recovering Grace, an online organization devoted to helping people whose lives have been impacted by the teachings of Bill Gothard. Dr. Cornish, after the allegations began to surface, they really began to multiply as well. Were you surprised by the abuse allegations surrounding Bill Gothard?
I would have to say yes. As Carrie said, there was kind of that common knowledge back then that he had a type, that he liked beautiful girls around him. But, you know, like she said, it was something we just kind of thought was innocent or just his thing. But when we had our first girl write us an email, I guess probably 2 years ago now, nearly 2 years, saying what happened to her, it did catch us off guard a little bit, and we're like, okay, well, we knew we had the favorites, but did it really go this far? And then since our website at that point was basically limited to just posting people's personal stories and accounts of what happened there, we just kind of let it run. And then once that first article ran, it kind of started this little bit of a snowball. A couple more came in, and then we started keeping a list of all those who'd contacted or who had known about this thing, until our list is now somewhere over 50 of these girls who have alleged some sort of inappropriate relationship with Bill. So, yes, it caught us off guard a little bit, and we questioned what do we do with the information, and we thought that really the only thing we could do was just to let these girls tell their stories and let the chips fall where they might.
From what I've read, Kerry, the stories that these women, now women, are often telling parallel one another remarkably. How would you characterize the general nature of the allegations being made about Gothard's behavior with young women?
You mean how would I characterize the things that that are in common with all of them?
Yeah, I mean, what are we talking about? What kind of behaviors, specific behaviors, are being reported?
Well, you know, I think this is easier answered by somebody that understands, you know, pathology. I don't, but there were behaviors that were in common with all these girls in a sort of a shocking way. I think when you see one or two stories, you think, well, that's kind of strange. But when you see it with everyone and even overlapping girls, it feels very ominous. And that's kind of where we were early this year. A couple things. A lot of times, on road trips, he would do what I already described, the holding of the hands. Every single girl describes, you know, this little game of footsie that he plays, where he removes his shoes and rubs his feet on their legs. This made most of them very uncomfortable. They would sort of sit on their feet in the vans, or they would tuck their feet under their chair at the tables, you know, so he couldn't reach them. But, you know, they didn't really say anything. Long gazes in their eyes. He would ask them specific questions about their past or their history. He would try to pull from them information about their lives that perhaps they felt guilty about or they wanted to change. And then he would turn that into a prayer session. And every single one of the girls has memories of these prayer sessions. And I it's very strange that, you know, he would pray with them, they would kneel, they would cry, he would give them a handkerchief. You know, there's just all of these little things that Bill did with each one of these girls and behaviors that is just shockingly similar. And many of them he interacted with, you know, on different days of the week. So it was very interesting when all these stories began to pile up.
Dr. Cornish, have you heard allegations? This is more, you know, what Kerry described was more of kind of flirtatious, inappropriate behavior, perhaps even without putting a legal definition on it, maybe some kind of sexual harassment. Have you heard allegations of spiritual abuse in connection with the allegations?
Oh, absolutely. I think maybe that's what Kerry was trying to get at a little bit, is you almost have to understand Gothard and the Gothard system to understand why this was so evil. Gothard is a very, very controlling man, and always has been. And some of the stories that we've posted really talk about how he dictated details of their lives. Kind of bounce off what Kerry said. You know, with these girls, he would dictate things about their personal appearance. He would tell them that their hair was ungodly and needed to be cut, or was too long or too short, or he would tell them that their teeth were a distraction, needed to have them fixed or a mole removed. He was dictating what kinds of underwear they should buy that would make them the most attractive, all under the guise of spiritual leadership. You need to do these things so you can have the best ministry, so you can look your best, so you can draw attention to your eyes, those types of things. And I think it's also worth mentioning here, too, that these were not behaviors that he did with young men. He did not dictate to the level that he did with these women in his behavior. It's also worth noting, too, that he didn't do this with women who were would be considered less attractive than the ones that he had. So it was a very specific type, and it was only with the women that he would do these long, late-hour counseling sessions and dictate all of these personal details.
At this point, I think you may one or both of you may have mentioned it. How many allegations, ballpark, are we talking about, Carrie?
Yeah, we have at least 50 confirmed stories from former young women who, of course, are now grown and well into their own families and lives. But, yeah, we have at least 50, and we have a growing number of unconfirmed stories.
How would you characterize the response from both Bill Gothard and from the leadership of the Institute in Basic Life Principles, Carrie?
Their response to these allegations?
Yeah.
We found ourselves to be very disturbed by their silence, especially this isn't something that's just gone on recently. Our first story came out in 2012, and we had quite a series. I think it was in the month of April that year, and really, we didn't even get any contact from Bill Gothard himself until last fall sometime. And at that time, there was no real admission of guilt, to any of it. And when we asked, what his goal was in contacting us, that communication never seemed to continue from his part. We tried to contact the Institute, the board of directors, and Bill Gothard last fall and even, late December, early January, just asking for some kind of reply. And nothing was forthcoming. And so we went ahead with our series. And, of course, a couple weeks into the series, things began to change, we're aware that, members of the board began to drop off and that kind of thing, but still no communication with us directly. And it's really quite easy to get a hold of us. All you have to do is go to Recovering Grace and, click on our email. We have, wonderful people who respond to the emails very quickly and pass them on to the leadership, but we've heard nothing. And we are aware from their website that there is a new president. Bill Gothard did step down from his role in the ministry a couple of weeks ago as a result of all of this. And they did finally appoint an interim president who we also still have not heard from, although we hope to soon, and we're definitely open to talking with them about all of these things.
So, Dr. Cornish, I'm trying to understand the nature of kind of the restructuring that's taken place here in the wake of these allegations. Has Bill Gothard stepped down from the organization entirely, or has he simply relinquished his official position as president of the Institute in Basic Life Principles?
Well, I can answer that with probably the same information that is public at this point. We know that he submitted his resignation. There's been no official statement from Bill directly. The only statements that have been released, both to the public or to us, which there's been nothing to us, is that he is stepping back to listen to the concerns that have been brought against him. At this point, your guess is as good as ours as far as whether it's a permanent thing, whether he's going to have any ongoing role in the ministry. But at this point, we know that he's stepped down as the president of the Institute in Basic Life Principles.
Dr. John Cornish and Carrie Underwood are our guests. We're talking about abuse allegations surrounding Bill Gothard, founder of the Institute in Basic Youth Principles. About another 10 minutes with them. Then Chris Rosebrough is going to join us from Fighting for the Faith. We'll get an update on the Mark Driscoll's publishing scandal. Mark Driscoll has actually issued a rather lengthy apology, not only for the publishing fiasco, but also for well, kind of being a very mean guy for the last couple of years. We'll see what Chris Roseborough has to say about that in about 10 minutes here on Issues Etc. Speaking of Chris Roseborough of Fighting for the Faith, he is going to be one of the featured speakers at the 2014 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. That's this summer, June the 13th and the 14th, right here in Collinsville, Illinois. Chris will be talking about, well, he'll actually be making the case against me-centered, misquoted scriptures. That's what you often find in the teachings of men like Bill Gothard. They twist the scriptures, and Chris will be responding to that common malady in evangelicalism at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference this summer, June the 13th and 14th, right here in Collinsville, Illinois. You can find the lineup and a way to register in advance at our website, issuesetc.org. Look for the Making the Case logo. I'm Todd Wilkin. We'll be right back.
Carpet, hardwood, tile, stone, laminate, you name it, they've got it at Vallo Floor Coverings in Edwardsville. Vallo's offers competitive pricing, a knowledgeable sales staff to help you with product selection, and name brands like Shaw, Congoleum, Mohawk, Florida Tile, and more. Vallo Floor Coverings, 1009 Plummer Drive in Edwardsville, 618-656-7788, or vallofloor.com.
What happens when you take solid doctrine and solid curriculum and combine them with ancient scholars and modern technology? You get Wittenberg Academy, the very first completely online classical Lutheran high school. We are unabashedly Lutheran and offer families a rigorous standard of academic excellence. Students can pick and choose classes, or they can utilize our entire curriculum for their high school education. Visit our website, WittenbergAcademy.org, to find out more.
It was the day after Christmas in 1538 when family and friends who were gathered around Luther's table heard him say, "There is no finer gift that a parent can give to a child than an education in the liberal arts." For over 100 years, St. Paul's Lutheran School in Brookfield, Illinois, has been emphasizing the six chief parts and the seven liberal arts, providing classical education in the Lutheran tradition. Visit our website at spbrookfield.org or call 708-485-0650.
Have you wondered what classical Lutheran education is all about? Are you a Lutheran homeschooler, pastor, or teacher? Would you like to be equipped to teach more effectively? Join the Consortium for Classical and Lutheran Education July 15th through the 17th at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. Find the conference schedule recently posted at ccle.org. Discover the education that is our Lutheran heritage, ccle.org.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Hey, St. Louis. How would you like to achieve your fitness goals in a fun and supportive atmosphere? Hi, this is Kevin Reisick, owner and operator of Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois. We offer adult boot camps throughout the week. These camps include cardiovascular conditioning, muscular strength and endurance training, balance and coordination activities, and more. For more information, give me a call at 618-670-6952, Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois, 618-670-6952.
Where do we find Jesus in the book of Job? I've written an article in the latest Issues Etc. journal titled Job in Four Not-So-Easy Steps. You can read it by subscribing to the online Issues Etc. journal. Just look for the red subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. Pastor Ross Johnson has written our Wittenberg Trail feature. It's titled Lutheranism, Christianity's Best Kept Secret, the free online Issues Etc. journal. Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. On this Monday afternoon, March the 17th, we're talking about abuse allegations surrounding Bill Gothard, founder of the Institute in Basic Life Principles. Dr. John Cornish and Carrie Underwood are our guests. They are co-founders of Recovering Grace. It's an online organization devoted to helping people whose lives have been impacted by the teachings of Bill Gothard. Speaking of those teachings, Dr. Cornish, how influential have Bill Gothard's teachings been, and why have they proven, at least in the past, so popular, so alluring to so many parents and young people?
Well, I think you have to kind of look at the culture of the 1960s and 1970s. It was a tumultuous time in the American church and America in general. A lot of rebellion and cultural shifts away from any kind of authority, rebellion, the whole rock and roll hippie drug movement was in full force. I think a lot of Christian parents were kind of scrambling for answers. You know, how do I make sure my kids don't go off the deep end, or how do we survive this apocalyptic culture? It was a very dramatic time, and along comes Bill Gothard, who has a very systematic set of principles that he basically sold them as, if you follow these principles, God will bless your life. He sold it as a new approach to life that would guarantee success, almost kind of a health and wealth type thing, that if you do this, God will bless. So I think a lot of parents looked at that and said, okay, well, here's the answer. And Bill was a good salesman. He would, you know, parade model families and tell stories of transformed lives and families that just were perfect in every way. So I think due to those factors of that culture, parents were just looking for something I can follow, something I can do, you know, five steps to family success. And Bill offered that. If you look at his teachings, everything is systematic. Even dealing with sin, it's a very systematic approach, to the point where he'll spell out prayers that you can repeat after him, and this will work. And he sells it as, this is, if you pray this prayer, you will be free from this. So I think just a combination of those factors made it very appealing. And in the 70s and 80s, it was a very, very popular thing, and they claim over 2.5 million alumni to the basic seminar, which is the entry-level week-long course into the Gothard's teachings. And in that time period, they would pack out major conference centers, arenas, convention halls around the country. So he was massively influential, and I would argue that his teachings still have some lingering effects in the evangelical church today.
Kerry, how do you think Bill Gothard was able to continue, if these allegations are true, how was he able to continue this behavior for so long with so many young women?
Well, as you kind of alluded to a couple of minutes ago, the behaviors that we're describing are so mild sounding. They just really don't have a criminal tone to them. If anything, it's sexual harassment, which, you know, when Bill Gothard started his ministry, wasn't even a real term. You know, even in the legal field, it just wasn't being handled at that time. And I really think that over the years, he developed a skill in covering his behavior up. And another thing that we've learned from these young women is, and we were told this, interestingly enough, by some of the former staff from the 1980s even, that Bill had a type and has always had a type, and he tended and still does to bring in young women who have a difficult past, who have perhaps a sexual past outside of marriage, who maybe have a difficult relationship with their fathers, and so in interacting with these young women, there's already a credibility issue with them. If they're to blow the whistle on maybe what he's doing, he was able to often discount what they said based on the fact that they couldn't be credible, and that they were problem children in some ways. And he did do that many times. In fact, he would encourage, you know, their roommates to not interact with each other. He would say, you know, so-and-so can't be trusted. And these were girls that sort of he would pit against each other so that they would have no inclination to speak to each other about what was going on privately with Bill in his office during the late hour counseling sessions. So there was a lot of fear in that. If anything started to go wrong, if a parent was calling too much or showing up at headquarters with questions, or if the staff would call him, his senior staff would call him on his behavior, he would immediately send those girls home, and that would be the end of that. And then he would start again with a new group. So I think he just developed a system over the years that worked, and most of his behaviors were late at night or during trips, traveling, when his main secretary, who was his sister, would not have seen or witnessed any of that.
Dr. Cornish, do you think that IBLP can survive this scandal? Can it survive, maybe even more importantly, the exit of Bill Gothard?
I think that's yet to be seen. I think a lot of it depends on the level of transparency they're willing to provide. You know, one of the things that we've called for through our website is an independent investigation of these allegations. There are organizations out there that specialize in coming in to ministries and looking at allegations and doing reports on them. At this point, the only investigation that we know is being done is an internal one that is being run by one of the speakers at this year's homeschooling conference. So we would question the transparency of that. So I think as long as IBLP continues to cover up, to stay silent, to avoid addressing these issues head on, they're really shooting themselves in the foot as far as their future. Now, if they desire to continue on down the road, I think there's a lot of things they need to look at. Obviously, the issue of the harassment allegations is one side of things, but obviously we have some very deep theological disagreements with them as well, and I think the evangelical church at large would disagree with many of the teachings. So I think they'll always have their followers that like that system, but as far as they can survive long term, I think a lot of that will depend on how they handle this crisis in the days ahead.
What do you think, having seen it from the inside out organizationally, Kerry? Same question for you. Can the Institute survive the scandal and the exit of Bill Gothard?
We've asked ourselves that question many times. I've asked it personally. The teachings are so integral with Bill and his push. We found that even in 1980, when the first scandal with his brother came out, he launched into several publications that spoke directly to not spreading a bad report, again, to the authority structure, on how to make a godly appeal to your authority. Very interesting teachings that sort of came out of that scandal time, and he was real angry and disappointed in his staff, many of whom became former staff, for really calling him out on his failure to report that situation sooner. So to me, a lot of his teachings are so tied up in Bill Gothard, I'm not really sure how they can fix this going forward. Now, it's my understanding, and I haven't worked with the ministry directly for several years now, but it's my understanding that a lot of what IBLP does now is their homeschool program, and that it looks different today than it looked in my day in some ways. It could be that they could, throw out the basic seminar and pull something off with their homeschool side. I just don't know. I find it very difficult to conceive of how the ministry could continue without Bill. One thing I neglected to mention earlier when you asked about communicating with IBLP or the board or Bill Gothard was that I did speak to Bill. John and I did speak to Bill on the phone a week or so ago for the purpose of speaking on behalf of the young women, and he didn't respond to us in any way, and we have nothing to report as far as admission or response from Bill. But in that phone call, I did say to him that we want to see integrity on behalf of IBLP and the board. We just want to see integrity, and if that means that things come out that they wish could be just put away, then that's what that means. And the Christian community can handle a little scandal when there's integrity involved in all that coming out. And that's what we'd really like to see.
Finally then, Dr. Cornish, with only about a minute here, what can Christians learn from this?
I think the big thing to learn is not to put your faith in one man, not to put your faith in one man's system. Gothard kind of created a closed system, especially within the ATI program, the homeschool program, where outside influences were evil, but the truth came from the Institute, almost cult-like in that regards. So I would say Christians can learn, you know, to diversify your teachers. You know, don't just listen to one man, but then above all, you know, put your trust in God, put your trust in His Word versus one man's take on God and His Word.
Dr. John Cornish and Kerry Underwood are co-founders of Recovering Grace, an online organization devoted to helping people whose lives have been impacted by the teachings of Bill Gothard. You'll find a link to Recovering Grace at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Dr. Cornish, thanks for being our guest.
Yeah, thank you.
Kerry, thanks to you as well.
Thank you very much.
When we come back on this Monday afternoon, Chris Roseborough of Fighting for the Faith is going to join us. We've been updating with him the story of plagiarism, a publishing scandal, using a PR group to buy a bestseller status on the New York Times bestsellers list by Mark Driscoll of Mars Hill. Mark Driscoll has apologized in a lengthy letter to his congregation. We'll see what Chris makes of it when we come back.
I think every man, every Christian should consider, at least, the possibility of God calling him into the holy ministry.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. Carl Fekencher of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Because that's the way that God has designed for faith in Christ Jesus to be spread, for the gift of eternal life that Christ Jesus earned by His death and resurrection to be shared with people. By the washing of baptism for infants and for adults, for the instruction, the proclamation of the word that happens on a nonstop basis in God's kingdom, God uses people, He uses men to be those proclaimers, to be those men who share the sacraments.
If you've ever considered becoming a pastor, contact Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Their phone number, 1-800-481-2155, 1-800-481-2155, or visit ctsfw.edu.
Providing artillery support for the church militant on the front lines, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Gloria Christi Lutheran, Greeley, Colorado. St. John's Lutheran, Rosemount, Minnesota. Trinity Lutheran, Waltham, Minnesota. Trinity Lutheran, Fredericktown, Missouri. Zion Lutheran, Gravelton, Missouri. Christ the King Lutheran, Billings, Montana. Redeemer Lutheran, Nashville, Tennessee. And Zion Lutheran, Douglas, Wyoming. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.